Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Banner civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We brought our Character Concerns crew on me.
Two weeks ago to
do our Chiefs fits, basically is what it was, which is, I think, was great because you think who fits in with the Kansas City Chiefs, which you don't know, but you start seeing trends. With Brett Veach, what do you think, Price? How much are you going back and forth on who they're going to take in the first round? Or are they going to even pick in the first round?
Well, first off, fellas, thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming in.
It's great to be here. It's the best week of the year.
I agree. You're not getting any argument here.
Yeah, it's truly, you know, for guys like us, the hardcore guys, it's the best week of the year. So I'm super glad to be here, super happy to do that little crossover episode with you and be here with you guys now. Pick 31, man, I tell you what. This year, more than any year, just kind of feels like a year where the consensus, it's just not there. Like, there just isn't a unanimous guy. We've seen a lot of smoke. I know Matt Miller last week put something out that the Chiefs were looking to get up in front of the Texans for a tackle at 23 or 24, maybe with the Vikings or the Packers. And then, you know, you've got a lot of smoke now recently that there could be a chance. I know Todd McShay put in his newsletter, he thinks there's a decent chance that there could only be one quarterback taken in the first round, which is obviously not great news for the Chiefs, who that's a win anytime you get a quarterback off.
I mean, there were six last year that tied 1983. We've seen a lot of things because last year they had to deal with the offensive linemen. There was eight selected. That was a tied a record from 2008. Seven receivers in the first round. That tied a record from 2004. And Latu was the first defensive player not selected till the 14th. So last year was a really weird year in the draft, but it benefited the Chiefs. Because the positions they not necessarily were going to grab were being taken first, except for the wide receiver position.
Yeah, and it really also kind of does not help their case that where the Chiefs need depth this year in the draft is also the strength of this class. And if we've seen one trend, particularly in the first round, we talked about last year and how there was just this massive offensive run. Whenever there's money raining from the sky, the teams grab their buckets, right? So they know that the strength of this class is going to be a defensive line. So I could see a real big run starting, you know, kind of like after the top 10, where we just see, you know, the guys come off the board. Walter Nolan, I've heard, you know, his starting points like the San Francisco 49ers is where, which is a lot different than what we've heard in the past, where there was some talk about him falling out of the first round because of some of the red flags around his character. And you can just see it starting to happen with Mike.
Yeah, Jalen Carter had those too, and he turned out okay.
Yeah. And, you know, that's part of this too, is like, how do you keep a guy like him motivated? How do you keep him focused? Nothing criminal for him, just like, you know, football character stuff. Well, the Chiefs, they've got that culture. But his flashes are as good as any flashes in the class as far as his upside. And I think he's a better run defender than he's given credit for. I think a lot of people look at his body type and stuff and say, oh, this is a penetrating gap shooting defensive tackle pass rush first. But he's a good run defender. I like it there.
Well, getting ahead of the Texans is important because Tunsil's now a member of the Commanders. It's a great offensive line they're building in Washington. No question about it. They draft 25th this year, so the Chiefs would have to move up. And the bad thing is the Rams sit there at 26, so you wouldn't be able – and that's the trade partner I could see. Because Minnesota's sitting at 24. All right, that's a trade partner. The Chargers, then I can take your call at 22. Green Bay, I don't think will, but it could.
I think Green Bay would be in the they would definitely, I think, answer the call.
But there's enough that they would
not
want.
Whether or not they would actually make a move or not, we'll see. It probably would have to be a pretty nice offer.
The Rams and Vikings, I could see them because they have done business.
I think those are the two most likely ones.
And that's okay. Minnesota 24, the Texans at 25, so you'd be sandwiching them there with the Rams at 26. The one to watch too is Buffalo that sits right in front of the Chiefs, and they conceivably always need what the Chiefs need. As far as, you know, wide receiver, edge help, that kind of thing.
And to your point, the Vikings, they make a lot of sense mathematically too. They have their first round pick at 24. They have a comp pick in the third round. So that's after the rest of the third round, pick 97. Then they've got 139, which is the first pick of the fifth round, and the 11th pick in the sixth round at 187. So only four total picks in the draft. While that is a pretty ready-to-go roster, I think they're probably going to want more depth than that, especially what they've got going on in the secondary. I know that they made some pretty big key free agent additions to that roster, but they definitely need some more bodies than that. So them collecting some picks makes a lot of sense.
I think the interesting thing about the Matt Miller report from last week is that it to me, it's one of two things. One, it's either a smokescreen on the part of the Chiefs, and I that's kind of where I'm leaning, but you never know. Or two, something's happening as far as a leak is concerned, because it's really concerning that 6 days before the first round of the draft, your first round plans leak out. So I kind of wonder if, especially because it happened right after the pre-draft presser the Chiefs have every year. Like to me, it just comes off as very, very good subterfuge by the Chiefs to kind of throw people off the scent a little bit.
Well, let me ask you this. If that is the smokescreen, why? Why would the Chiefs want to float out that they're looking to trade up for a tackle?
Yeah, and the reason why I think they would want to do that is because you go elsewhere. You kind of zig where people think you're zagging. And if I were looking to go get, let's say, a Walter Nolan, which, you know, we don't even know if he's going to be available at a 24 because, you know, as you brought up, he could be a 49 or he could. There's a lot of teams in the teens that could look at him. But let's say it's not Walter Nolan. Let's say it's Derek Harmon. That's another guy that we've looked at as a potential option there. Or let's say it's not even defensive tackle. Let's say that it is wide receiver or corner. Because, you know, I really like Savon Revel Jr. out of ECU. Or what happens if Luther Burden falls? Like how likely do you think it was a smokescreen versus somehow there was a catastrophic leak of their first round pick, of their first round strategy?
Yeah, I think what you're on there is the right point, that it could be for something else. We saw this a little bit back when the draft was in Kansas City. They were wanting to move up allegedly for Mazi Smith. That's what came out the next day.
Right.
But as more time has went on, it looks like it was Anton Harrison, who they have a history with Oklahoma offensive linemen. That kind of makes sense. The question then is who? If it's, you know, your guy, wide receiver Luther Burden out of Missouri, I'm not sure that they'd have to trade up to go get him. The way things seem to be trending for him, maybe they like Matthew Golden. He's 4.29 speed. That fits their bill. He's a little bit older than some of the guys that they've brought in at wide receiver, but honestly, he doesn't play like a 4.29 guy. He's a little bit better at the catch point, better of a savvy route runner. So maybe they want to make, like I've been saying, and we've been saying on our show, it feels like at one point in this draft, the Chiefs are going to make a offensive move that the rest of the league is like, what the heck? How did this happen? Whether that be at running back, like a splashy running back, like a Judkins or a Henderson or someone like that, or maybe it's a wide receiver that they want to go and make another move, or maybe it's at tight end. But maybe that's the spot that they do, that they try to go make a splash, because we know that they are not satisfied with where this offense is, and there's still a lot of questions about it going into this year.
The Ravens and Niners both have 11 picks overall. That's the most in this year's NFL draft. We'll see if they're willing trade partners as far as that is concerned for the Chiefs. I'm still sitting there. We did our mock earlier, our last one we're going to do for the Chiefs. Had Derek Harmon going. Walter Nolan's a guy we really like out of Ole Miss. Of course, Brett Veach is an SEC guy. Clearly, that's a good fit going Ole Miss with Brett Veach, but we think Nolan might be going earlier. Derek Harmon, we had sliding to the Chiefs. We felt that that was a pick, and we went running back Dylan Sampson in the next round. Where would you go, Price, as far as running backs?
Well, one of the things I love about this running back class is there's a different fit for everything you want. And I think the Chiefs are going to tell us a lot about what they want out of their running back by who they pick. You've got some bell cows with like Omarion Hampton, Quinshon Judkins, I think can be that. Dylan Sampson, I think, has a potential to be that. And there's some guys that kind of fall in the DJ Giddens, I'll throw in there as well, too, or Devin Neal. They've been sniffing around Damian Martinez, the running back from Miami.
He came in for top. Giddens, to me, and Neal are an interesting, both of them. But Giddens, to me, showed that he just showed some stuff with Kansas State towards the end, like that home run ability. He did. He got out of that pocket with the ball in his hands, and he was gone.
Yeah, I think the top end is a little bit better for him.
Right at the combine, too.
Yeah, yeah, and I think he tested like that, too. Yep. He was definitely the better athlete. And then I think, you know, there's some guys who are a little bit more splashy that I think, you know, could profile as a change of pace guy. RJ Harvey out of UCF, a guy I really like. Love him outside of the tackles. Pretty willing in pass protection. Had some really nice passing production. This guy's really popular. I don't see him as high of a fit for the Chiefs, but there would be a lot of people that would react to it, and that's Bashaul Tutten, the running back out of Virginia Tech.
See, I like him. He's got a knack for the fumble. He's lost like 9 fumbles, but whenever he was got like screen passes, like didn't drop a single one, and he's a good returner too, because not last year, but the year before when he did a lot of returning, almost 29-yard average, and he had 2 touchdowns, and that 4.32 speed, and a very good returner, which I think you can take some of these running backs and take them off the list. If you got not good in pass pro, you're not good at catching, and if you can return, they'll have you in the list.
And the one thing about Tutten is, and I can totally see the vision, right? He weighs about 12 pounds or 18 pounds more than Devon Achane and ran faster, a faster 40-yard dash than him. Like, that's the vision, right?
Which is insane.
Yeah. The problem is almost all of his production comes in outside zone concepts or end arounds. Like, that's almost all of where it came from.
Not a lot between a tackle.
Yeah, and the Chiefs really haven't been that type of offense. Now, you want to tell me that they're headed that way? They go get a 49ers offensive lineman. They bring in Elijah Mitchell. But even Mitchell, his time with the 49ers, was a lot more of in between the tackles, man, gap, duo, power.
Heard a lot, but had the 4.32 speed. I think they love that.
Now, it would be great to have Bashaul Tutten because the Chiefs' offensive line has consistently generated holes, and it just feels like they don't have a guy who can get there, whether it be Pacheco with the vision or Kareem Hunt with the lack of burst. So, yeah, Tutten, it's exciting, but the fumbles are just so concerning. I mean, it's getting I can't remember what his fumble rate is off the top of my head, but it's concerning.
Hey, you carry a football the whole time you're in St. Joe.
And that is, I think, a concerning part about Tutten's game. And we know that Andy Reid, he's very quick to lose trust in running.
You're on that bench.
Yeah, like we saw that with Clyde. Like, I remember I was at that Jacksonville game back in 22. And Clyde dropped a couple passes in the flats there, and that was it for him. I think that was it right there. That was when Isaiah Pacheco had that job fully. There was no more competition, and it was done for him. I am very concerned that if Tutten does get brought into the team and he does start to show some of that fumbling or dropping issues, like now we're talking about a guy who doesn't really get much of a leash, because we saw that with what's his name, Carson Steele this year.
Yeah,
like this past year, Carson Steele had what was it, 2 fumbles, and he was done. He was out very quickly. Okay, Kareem, how quickly can we?
It'd be tough for him to get carries, though, with Pacheco and Mitchell here and whoever's going to be drafted, and plus Kareem Hunt. I mean, it's going to be tough,
and
man.
And that's the thing, though.
It's earmarked for the practice squad.
If you get somebody that is good enough to be a 3-down guy, then he jumps over somebody.
Or a Harold Fan that could play the H-back role.
Yeah, like I said, the thing is always is you get somebody that can supplant one of those guys, because like ideally, I don't think you want Kareem Hunt to get the level of carries he got last year. I mean, he's going to be 30 years old this year, right? And he's not that same guy. I definitely think that the Chiefs would have their way. They would like to be able to get younger at that running back
spot. Because
you
need better at 3rd-and-1 and 4th-and-1. I know Pacheco's got this, you know, this image being this hard runner and everything. That's great. And he's got that speed, too, but he had a 4.37 at the combine. You know, MVS had that, too. But you got to be tough, man. You got to get those first downs instead of bringing the punter.
It's not even being tough. It's about having good vision.
It's good vision. This one, like Marcus Allen had that vision to do it. And not everybody can be that good because he's one of the best ever short yardage. But the one thing is, and I know the Chiefs have been quiet on the tush push. Listen, they're not going to do the tush push with Mahomes, but they do it a lot. Like when these running backs break the surface, guess who comes behind them? Creed or Trey Smith, and they push them. So if they outlaw the tush push, I think it affects the Chiefs, because if they put a rule that says you cannot push your running back forward, like that does. I mean, I know the Chiefs aren't doing it on 3rd-and-1 or 4th-and-1, but they do it.
Well, I have the solution. It's actually J.J. Pegus, the defensive tackle from Ole Miss, who actually carried the ball quite a bit and ran at tight end. So you just draft him.
Well, Lane Kiffin does everything, man.
Yeah, so we'll just draft him and fix all those problems. One name that I did want to talk about, the Chiefs had him in on a 30 visit, Damian Martinez, the running back out of Miami. When I looked at him at first, I just wasn't overwhelmed. I didn't see a lot of burst.
I like what he did at Oregon State, too, before he transferred.
Yeah, and I looked at him this year for Miami, and I was just kind of, man, I don't really see a guy here that I think makes sense for what the Chiefs are wanting. However, if you go take a look at him later in the year, he really kind of surged towards the end of the season. And the burst, it was better. I don't know if it was just the Miami weather or what got to him, but he's a guy that I think is just tons of singles and doubles. Is he a home run hitter? No, but I think he kind of combines the best of what Pacheco and Kareem Hunt bring. He's a guy that I could totally see at pick 95 for them because, I think he just does a lot of the little things well. He catches the ball pretty well. He pass protects well. He can run outside zone. He can do in between the tackles.
Three straight 1,000-yard years. One was like 982. It's close enough.
Yeah, so he's a guy, again, that I think just makes a lot of sense. And, again, I think what the Chiefs do at running back will tell us a lot about what they think about the future of this running back room. If they go with a guy like Martinez or DJ Giddens or someone like that, this is the new bell cow. This is the guy that they're wanting to take majority of the carries. Or are they going to take a guy that is a change of pace back? So it'd be interesting to see where they head.
We'll take a timeout. Don't forget the Jay Southland Tow Service text number 913-586-7965. Price Carter from Arrowhead Attic in here with us now. We'll take a timeout. Don't forget we'll get to your questions and concerns about 8:30, including drafting Patrick Mahomes' half-brother that keeps coming up all the time. We'll get to that stuff. We'll get to, I want to talk wide receivers too. I want to talk why I want wide receiver. We'll do that next.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, absolutely refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I know Vern would have us taking every Michigan player in the draft, but his alma mater, Eastern Michigan, decided Max Crosby be there.
He doesn't claim them, though.
He doesn't. Eastern Michigan, but he'll claim the Wolverines.
He'll claim the Wolverines. I tried to make fun of him once when Florida Gators beat the hell out of Eastern Michigan.
Take the gray field, man.
He was
Eastern
like,
Michigan's
nah.
Got the gray field. Max Crosby. It's the new Max Crosby position.
Yeah,
I love when guys go back to their alma mater and give some money and some cash. I like that.
No, he's not about it. He's a Michigan guy. He's not Eastern Michigan.
Jay Binkley, Chris Inocero, Character Concerns Podcast, also Character Concerns Draft Special tonight. Jacob Mustard producing the operation. Price Carter, kind enough to join us in studio from Arrowhead Attic.
Brought to you by J&M Displays. Apply now to shoot off large-scale fireworks displays at jndisplays.com.
Gosh, I'm going to shoot some things off, man. We got a couple nights of draft just every night. And people say, what are you doing? I'm celebrating the draft before we hit draft.
It's a great way to get arrested.
It is a great way to get arrested. I don't know, man. They might be kind of cool about it this time of year. Just say, man, it's
no,
the draft.
They won't be cool about it.
And we'll find out.
No.
We'll find out.
We'll find out when you're
in handcuffs. Shoot fireworks off, Bryce?
Our neighborhood is fantastic about that. Like fireworks, you know, every Chiefs win, every Chiefs touchdown in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
It's great. I say
we all shoot off fireworks during the Chiefs.
No, here's what we do.
They do at the end of the game. Is it legal?
Hold up. It is 11 o'clock at night on a Sunday. We don't need to be shooting off those damn fireworks in October.
Is Liberty legal for fireworks?
I'm that weird person. I live in Clay County, but I actually live Kansas City, but okay. Liberty School District. So kind of like straddle the line there. But here's what we do. We turn this full draft analysis. The display is how we grade the pick, right?
I like it.
Right? You know, you get Walter Nolan at 31. We're setting off big fireworks. Getting a grand finale. If we get something like an interior offensive lineman on day two, we're shooting off a single firecracker. That's it.
Rubbing candle.
Yeah, that's it. That's all they get.
No, snap and pop.
Yeah.
Just throwing down a snap. Lighting some snakes.
Yeah.
wide receivers. Steve Smith, that I think does a great job breaking down receivers.
Except when he was hating on Xavier Worthy.
Yeah, except when he's doing some hating.
Noted Sky Moore supporter, Steve Smith, by the way.
We like Sky Moore. He mocked, Bink mocked Sky Moore.
I did.
We like Sky Moore, so I'll give him that.
What? He caught everything. We brought in Tim Lester as coach. He got everything.
Oh, yeah. He was so complimentary
He's not lived up to what we thought, man.
No.
That happens, though. That happens. You can't be right on 100% of things, but which we clearly aren't. But he talks about this wide receiver abyss between the top four. You know, your Burdens, Igbuka, Golden, who got himself in the top four. I don't think it's still buyer beware because Gunnar Helm did lead that team in receptions, and he was a tight end. Not a great tight end either athletically. I liked him. I loved Gunnar Helm and what he could do. But, of course, T-Mac, Tedderell McMillan, who, by the way,
there's only one T-Mac, and it's Tracy McGrady.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'll still call him Tedderell. No. How about I'll call him he's still T-Mac,
no,
man.
He's not. Just call him Tedderell. Call him by his government name.
He goes by T-Mac. That's his nickname.
No, that's not a good – you can't take someone else's nickname.
That's what he goes
no.
with.
No. No.
Okay, anyway, he was looked upon as top 10. Now he's sliding, and all of a sudden you start seeing him in some Chiefs mocks and whatnot. But anyway, there is this abyss between that and your Trey Harris's in the Park Hill guy, Jalen Newell, went to Park Hill. That abyss kind of in between Kyle Williams, Washington State, that I love, absolutely love some Kyle Williams. Where do you sit on wide receivers, Price? I'm curious because I'm not one of those guys that says, okay, on paper, they're great. Because that's what they said last year. And I said, yeah, are you? Because Hollywood Brown's hurt. First preseason game against Jacksonville. Gone till the
Bink
end of the year.
Bink is very paranoid about wide receivers.
Rashee Rice now. Gets hurt in the Chargers game. Then all of a sudden, you're without your one and two, and you're saying, step up rookie Xavier Worthy, which he did, but wasn't ready for primetime initially. Now, do you trust that everybody stays healthy, or do you keep giving Patrick Mahomes weapons, which I'm on the side of, you keep giving him weapons?
Yeah, for sure. I really hope that the Chiefs don't look at their wide receiver room as a complete product right now.
And I don't think they do.
Yeah, you know, you're relying on Juju Smith-Schuster to basically be the closest thing you have to an X. One thing that I always like to bring up, this always comes around when we talk draft wide receivers, is like, oh, well, the Chiefs, they can't draft a guy who runs out of the slot because they've got Rashee Rice. Where if you go back and look at it, both Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy took majority of their snaps on the outside.
Which a burden would be a slot. It's the best slot in this draft, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you go back to, if you take a guy who is a slot exclusive, like a Jalen Noel, like a Kyle Williams, a guy who predominantly runs out of the slot, I think there could be some problems there. But you talk about a guy like Jalen Royals or Trey Harris or Jack Besh, who I think could run out of the slot some, but can also do some X things for you, I think you're fine. Basically, that's all just to say, I don't think that the slot is completely booked. I don't think that the slot spot is a way to get players more open and to utilize the middle of the field. It's not necessarily a spot that, like, you play your player there and only. Yeah. So my point in just saying that is like Luther Burden, right? That's always going to be a name that we hear a lot around here. I don't think that you can't draft Luther Burden. And I've tweeted out some clips on my X account that there's plenty of clips of him winning on the outside. He had a great touchdown against Georgia in 2023 on the outside. So he does win on the outside as an X. It's just he was the best player on the field, and they tried to use as many creative ways to get him open. Now, do I think that he's a complete route runner? No, I do think that there's some room for growth there. But yeah, there is a big gap there. And Igbuka is, again, we've talked about the Ohio State chasm for the Chiefs off air, but would they do that? Noel seems very Chiefs-y to me. Like, as far as his ability to separate, like, honestly, you see
Park Hill guy.
Yeah, you see some shades of a Christian Kirk, or honestly, a little bit of Hollywood Brown, where it's just a guy who, he's not insanely fast. He's not a quote unquote burner, but just natural separation. There's some great clips of him in the Kansas game, played in Arrowhead, by the way. Let's keep him scoring touchdowns in Arrowhead. He cooks Kobe Bryant on a one-on-one outside route, which, by the way, love Kobe Bryant, the player. I tweeted out that clip, and then Kobe Bryant responds. He says, tweet out the rest of the game film, which to his point,
Melo Dotson, that was a tough little combination until he ran that combine.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, the way I look at receivers and utilizing them, you got to have as much. And Xavier Worthy, I thought, was unfairly diagnosed by a lot of people being just a nine-route, vertical-route guy when he led Texas in receptions and yards for three straight years. You don't do that being a strictly nine-route guy because he's tough. He's a lot tougher than people think he is because he's extremely tough.
Especially if you've watched, like, any of Quinn Ewers ever.
In two of 3 years, he led that team in touchdowns.
Yeah. Boy, like that film, watching Xavier Worthy film, the biggest thing I got from it is that Quinn Ewers is not an NFL starting quarterback.
If you watch film on Xavier Worthy, he was sitting there waiting on Quinn Ewers to deliver the ball.
He probably left like 300 or 400 yards and probably 3 or 4 touchdowns out of there. Just because Quinn has no deep ball power or accuracy at all.
Although, while I do love my man Patrick, there was a lot of those moments this year for Patrick, too.
Well, yeah, because he didn't trust his offensive offensive line to hold up for.
So hopefully we're not feeling that way this year about Xavier Worthy. But yeah, and I mean, you know, you look at Matthew Golden or Isaiah Bond this season, and it's more of the same. That offense was like training wheels with a helmet, with dad standing behind.
And I know Sark's got Andy Reid's ear. Because of BYU connection with those guys when Sark was at BYU. So, but Xavier Worthy, we had him on our first mock last year in September because we do these mocks all year.
Our first in 23.
But we backed off of him when they signed Hollywood because it's the same guy in our opinion.
Sure.
It wasn't even really that. It was more so like because our final mock, we did A.D. Mitchell to the Chiefs. And it was just because of the side speed combo.
Yeah, I'm not giving up on him.
He's 6'2", 205. I mean, 215, actually.
That was quarterback issues.
Yeah, he was
quarterback concerns.
Yeah, like early in the year, he looked really good. It's just, you know, Anthony Richardson can't throw the ball down the field that accurately.
You're Florida guy, man.
I did not. I told y'all 2 years ago that Anthony Richardson was not going to be a good NFL quarterback.
I still cannot understand why Anthony Richardson is a top five pick, but Jalen Milroe can't be a first round quarterback. Like I'm not a huge Jalen Milroe guy.
Well, the reason why Jalen Milroe is not is because
his hands grew, by the way, from the combine.
Why is because Anthony Richardson. Because it's like, well, we've seen this before.
I'll never forget. So I had the privilege of attending the draft in Kansas City. One of the best nights of my life. Like. Sorry, you know, my kids being born, my wife, yada, yada, yada.
I went to day three. It was really fun. I get it.
And after the first night.
You're amongst friends here. You can say what you want.
Yeah, we get on the streetcar, and there's this Colts fan that's holding up the streetcar. Like, he's, like, standing in the door, and everyone's like, get off.
The hell,
bro, like, get off. And he goes, you can't tell me nothing. Anthony Richardson's my quarterback now. And we're all like a sea of red coming off a Super Bowl, and it's like, my guy. I think about him often. I just wonder how he's doing.
I bet you people could tell him something now.
I hope he's doing well.
That quarterback. One of my best friends from college is a Colts fan, and he is wishing, he's praying for anybody else to play that position for him.
913-586-7965 is the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. We'll get to some of your questions, comments, and concerns when we come back. Price Carter from Arrowhead Attic, kind enough to sit in here in studio with Chris and I, talking NFL draft. More of that next.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Welcome back to 96.5 The Fan, the Character Concerns NFL Draft Special. Jay Binkley, Chris Sinocero, Jacob Mustard producing.
Brought to you by Powell Exteriors KC for siding, windows, decks, and more. It has to be Powell Exteriors KC and PowellExteriors.com.
Price Carter, Arrowhead Attic, and Tangibles Podcast as well, sitting in here with us. Mention the text line, 913-586-7965, Jay Southland Tow Service text line, which, by the way, I've used them before, and they're very, very handy. Text line's asking me what I think about Ollie Gordon now. 2 years ago, Ollie Gordon leads the nation in rushing. Last year was not a good year to follow Ollie Gordon at Oklahoma State. I kind of believe where Dane Brugler kind of has him in that fourth round type mixture. Hey, I like Ollie Gordon. I know last year was not a great example. but I just like the way that he plays.
I think Ollie's one of those guys that has a lot of talent. Last year, his usage
was not. He didn't drop it either.
It was
in 38 attempts, no drops.
It was not very good the way he was used. I know someone who is big on the pokes there, and he was giving me all the lowdown on it.
Did you like some Dalton Cooper?
The usage was not great. I felt bad for Ollie pretty much all last year, and you know, he stuck it out. He could have just shut it down middle of the year because I think he had some injury issues too.
He could not quit. He could have walked away.
There was a lot of people that thought like at the end of October he was going to shut it down for the year, but instead he kept playing on it. And you know what? I got to give him a lot of respect
like that,
for that.
Man. I like that attitude.
Yeah, a lot of heart. But I'm going to tell you this right now: Ollie Gordon might be the most undervalued running back in this draft class, and I think he has a chance to surprise a lot of people at the next level because people are looking at that last year at Oklahoma State. But like the skills, the tools, I think he's got it all.
I don't know what it was, but from last year to this year, going into the season, I had him as my RB4. I really liked him, and he
wasn't the like of it. You know,
I think he was my two. Led the
nation of rushing.
Yeah. I think he was my two after Amarian Hampton,
and he just. The burst isn't quite there. And something about him, too, I'm not sure if he put on weight intentionally, unintentionally, but he just didn't look as explosive. And he runs so upright that you feel like he's a big guy that should run like a big guy, but he just never kind of fit that as far as, like, how he ran this year.
He's a big dude, almost 230 pounds and over 6'2". He's a big dude.
Yeah, he is. And, you know, he had the DUI arrest this offseason, too, or last offseason, June 2024. So there's that little character flag too. So I'm not sure.
We like character concerns.
Yes, yes. Well, yeah. It's a given, right? Like it's not when, it's if. Honestly, we should just do a draft of that. Just like
like them.
When we had you guys on our show, I picked Isaiah Bond as my 1-1. I was like small, fast, from Texas, yep. Legal concerns. We're here, or character concerns at that point.
I was throwing my hands up. I was like, I'll wait on that.
I'll let the
justice system play out first.
Like, I start taking Carter, Isaiah nobody Bond. Who's looked upon as number 1-1. He goes ninth.
I was like, I'm good. Like,
we'll take him.
Well, and so when we recorded that, there was just questions about his character. And then, like, I swear we got off the show, and then, like, the whole thing came out about the sexual assault allegation. And I was like, oh my gosh, I look way worse. And then, of course, our editor like pulls it for like a TikTok and everything. And everyone's like, oh, you want the Chiefs to draft a guy? These allegations or stuff? I'm like, oh man, bad timing. But
I'm glad I stayed away from that one. Yeah. I was like,
But 2023, I mean, the dude overhead over 1,700 yards rushing, had 39 catches, over 330 yards receiving. So, yes, it does what happens. But sometimes you have to take a look. Look at the coaching staff, the utilization. I know they do that with high school athletes all the time. Because you'll wonder why a kid became a four-star and he had like 800 yards receiving. They'll say, well, his high school coach didn't like throwing the ball. We think this guy can have 1,200-plus yards at our school. So you see it a lot with high school athletes. Who knows about the NFL, but we do see it a lot in high school athletes. But anyway, that was the question there about Ollie Gordon. But so, yes, I would take some Ollie Gordon. And, of course, Patrick Mahomes' stepbrother.
Someone from the 816 says the Chiefs are taking Colston Loveland.
I like Colston.
I like him. I don't know if that's – I mean, I think if they were to take Colston, which there's a chance he might not even be there. But let's say he is. The only way I see they take Colston is if there's no defensive lineman on the board that are within their parameters as far as like what Spags is looking for. And there's like Savon Revel Jr. Something came there that was just like, we think we can get him in the second round, or we don't think he's a fit for whatever reason. I kind of feel like Colston Loveland is like one of the last options they would take at 31 if they stay at 31.
It just feels like to me that his floor is the Chargers for Colston Loveland, right? Like obviously Michigan connection there. And then
if Kelsey had retired, this is a no-brainer.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, we were a previous segment, we were kind of talking about like, hey, if the Chiefs are blowing smoke that they want to trade up for a tackle, maybe they're floating that trade up because they want to get their tight end of the future. That's possible. Loveland certainly does some Kelsey-esque things as far as like he's honestly probably a better blocker than Kelsey is right now, but can run out of the slot, can run out wide. He's a better athlete than he's given credit for. And I think, you know, there's been this thing about Tyler Warren where, he snaps the football and he's got a mullet and he's from Mechanicsville, Indiana. Like this guy loves to block. But honestly, like Loveland's probably the better blocker.
Yeah, he is a much better blocker.
It was a heavy run scheme.
Yeah,
in Michigan.
Yeah. So yeah. I mean, if you're telling me somehow the Chiefs do come out of this draft with Colston Loveland, I'm elated, especially because knowing the track record with tight ends and their development, coming in them and having them contribute year one, it's usually not something that happens. Well, guess what? They've got plenty of options at tight end with Kelce, with Gray. You give him a year with Kelce, love that trajectory. And you're still adding to the Patrick Mahomes arsenal. So you've got Gray as kind of the like continuance after Kelce. And then you've got the succession plan. Like, I love it. I'm just not sure how it happens without a pretty aggressive trade up.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do. Like I said, I'm not 100% confident that he ends up being available at 31, but also like, to me, that's more like, I don't know if you need, like, we've had this debate pretty much all season long. Do the Chiefs need to take a tight end? And I'm not 100% certain they need to take a tight end with the idea of this is going to be your Kelce replacement. And the reason why is because the way that they use Kelce in the passing game is similar to the way they're using Rashi Rice in the passing game right now. And so to me, it's like, you know, do you need to invest in a tight end at, you know, of that same skill set? I don't know if you need to right
and
now.
And they really like Wiley. I know
if
the
you really like a guy,
they really like Wiley.
If you really like a guy at some point in this draft, and you feel like he's a can't miss prospect.
Or
sure.
Quarterback.
I just don't want them reaching to go out and get a guy like that, because first off, Kelce's really hard to find out there. There's not a whole lot of athletes.
You don't get him in a third round like that.
Yeah. I mean, and not that often. I mean, you can still do it. I mean, tight end's a position that I think a lot of teams are going to miss on because they kind of overestimate. But to me, it's just like, I don't know if you need to find someone specifically to replace Kelce, because I kind of think you could find someone in that role anyway.
I think it did help the Chiefs, though, with him coming back. I mean, that kind of didn't make it as much a priority as what I thought it was going to have to be coming in this year.
Yeah,
I've been screaming for tight end the last 3 years.
Yeah, and it was kind of a bummer the way that his season ended so quickly. We only got to see like one reception from him, and the Chiefs just had like terrible luck at the tight end position this year with injuries. You know, if they wanted to do kind of like a discount Colston Loveland, Aronde Gadsden out of Syracuse.
Chris mocked him in our latest mock.
I mocked him in our seventh
wide receiver
mock.
Turned tight end, but yep. Does have the size to develop into what you want. But he catches everything.
Yeah, catches everything. Pretty explosive athlete too. Now he's not the blocker that Loveland is, but
so you can get him late in the draft.
Yeah, Syracuse threw the rock this year, man. Shout out to LaQuint Allen, running back
Kyle
too.
Kyle McCord, man, put up some.
Yeah,
numbers.
Yeah, they were chucking it all over the yard. So he's a guy, another guy, like another move tight end that you could really do some interesting stuff with. I know that they have some interest in Jalen Conyers too from Texas Tech. Maybe they kind of bring in a Mahomes guy, a guy who's played with Patrick Mahomes' logo on his uniform this year.
He's a very athletic tight end too. So I think he would be an interesting guy to go get maybe round seven.
He's a 5th-year senior, but he won't be 24 until halfway through his rookie season. I like him. 6'3", 260 pounds, 33 1/4-inch arm, so you can still use him as a blocker. Runs a lot of routes, obviously, at Texas Tech. Finishes well, rangy blocker. I don't know. And he also ran some wildcat quarterback, too. So we know that the Chiefs, they love their tight ends with some quarterback experience.
Yeah, I think he's definitely an option. Him, Gadsden as well. Like I said, I mocked him in our 7th-round mock earlier today. I think there's options for good athletic tight ends. I just don't know if you need to go round one with it, because I just don't want them stretching for that. Because like it's really hard taking that position, because there's so many guys that look like really good athletes, but then their game doesn't develop when they get to the NFL level.
Well, and one thing too, text line's asking, we giving up on Wiley? No, we're not.
No,
he got hurt last year. We actually like him quite a bit. We brought on Sonny Dykes as head coach from TCU last year. He loves him too.
Yeah, he does, and he's such a big body. You know, that's the one thing he does so well is, you know, he can make contested catches and covers defenders up because he is so long, and he can go get the ball, and he's the perfect red zone guy. I mean, he was, you know, we struggled a little bit this year in the red zone, and Jared was the guy that we could count on. You know, we had a difficult time running the ball, so we relied on him to make a bunch of plays, and he made them.
Yeah, Sonny Dykes is pretty high on him, and talking about, you understand why the Chiefs draft certain guys. He's a high football IQ guy, former quarterback. I think he can be good at tight end. I think Kelce replacement, everybody, you know, made that link last year because he's a former quarterback.
Because he plays, not in just that, but he looks on film kind of like how Kelce does
but
when he's running.
Sonny Dykes admitted when he came off the sideline, you know, players often say, hey, I'm opener and we need to do this, we need to do that. He listened to him. Like, that didn't happen very often. He actually listened to what he had to say.
Also, we're underrating the aura. If you follow Jared Wiley on Instagram, He's got like maximum ore.
We'll take a time out, come back. We'll wrap this thing up next. Welcome back to the Character Concerns NFL Draft Special. Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero. Check out our podcast at the 96.5 The Fan, the podcast page, the 435 Podcast Network. We do it all year round. Don't forget Thursday night, we'll be at the Landing in Liberty. Always a good time. Come out, make your picks. Make sure you have them turned in before Cam Ward is taken by the Titans.
Yeah, pretty much confirmed now that we just saw that the Titans have told
you don't get that Cam one right, Ward. There's something wrong with you. Yeah,
I'll tell you, it's a free space.
You look in the mirror.
I'll tell you, the first four picks are pretty predictable. Yes. Like if you don't get the first four right at least, something's wrong with you. It's really easy.
Don't blame others. Look in the mirror.
Something's wrong with you if you don't get those first four right. Unless, I mean, that we could obviously be wrong and something crazy happens and Shador goes second overall. Or something. But I don't think that's going to happen.
What about you, Price? What are you doing at Arrowhead at it? How many more mocks are you going to do before the final night?
I have my couple more articles coming out. Tomorrow, it's my guys, my Price's picks, my 10 favorite guys of the draft, which is one of my most fun articles to write of the year.
Can you give me a spoiler alert on maybe who the favorite Price guy is?
Well, I actually didn't rank them. I just, you know, I can't choose my favorite children, Nick Skorton. That way.
See, I'm a Skorton guy, too.
Yeah. That's Bink's second favorite
last
guy.
Last year it was Ben Sinnott.
You did love Ben Sinnott.
I just, the 2023 tape for Skorton is just so fun. I can't get
shades.
Yeah, I just can't get shades of Justin Houston out of my head. Texas A&M needs to be indicted for what they did to their defensive line. But I've got some guys, you know.
And Shamar, they just run them when they go to
A&M. All of our KU fans would be thrilled that Kobe Bryant did make the list. Love him as a player. So he did make the list. But Dante Thornton out of Tennessee, another guy. Just size and speed. That's all that matters, baby.
Just blame Nico on that production. Anyway, great stuff from you, Chris. We'll see you Thursday night. Me and you were hammered down Thursday.
Be a long
like 6 hours Saturday, 3 hours Sunday to wrap it up. Monday, we're still wrapping it up on 96.5 The Fan. Thanks, Jacob Mustard. You'll be with us the entire time. Looking forward to that. And Price, thanks for coming in here, man. You were awesome. Loved
Absolutely.
It.
Can't wait.
Same.
We are very excited about draft season. Finally reaching that culmination. J&M. Don't shoot any fireworks in any places that don't allow you to shoot fireworks at.
100%. Anyway, have fun. Get excited about the draft. We're just a couple days away. Make sure you go to the Landing and turn in your slip for your picks.
We'll see you guys Thursday.
See you Thursday.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.